Legislator members and everybody, welcome to this meeting. Apology for starting late. We end up in Ministerial Minister of Safety's office dealing with some few issues for tomorrow's meeting. As you're aware that the brand new Minister of Safety and Security will be appearing before the committee tomorrow to give us his vision about the department, and for us to welcome him and introduce him to the cluster. So he wanted some few to know about a few things before he comes to the committee. So I was there. But let's prepare ourselves for that meeting tomorrow with our brand new minister, Honorable Mthethwa Unyambos. Welcome to the office of the from the Magistrate Commission. Our friend from SAPS, Director Van der Walt, and our special delegate from our province, KwaZulu-Natal, and Eastern Cape. Thank you very much for coming, and welcome to our staff as well. Today I want to deal with basically two issues, but some will just flow from that. As you are aware, we are going to finalize the second-hand goods bill today, and also having the issue of Magistrate Zweli Banzi. You remember that we were briefed thoroughly about it, and there was a thorough discussion by ourselves, and we decided to defer the matter or to give the department to go and further investigate, because as a committee we felt we didn't have enough information then. Wanted even to hear from the minister himself as to what is his view in terms of the allegations that were leveled against him. Now, we are going to, because the second-hand goods bill might take us time, I will request Director Van der Walt to bear with us, because I know he's very understanding, but I don't want to take advantage of that all the time. I want to allow Mr. Mayor to address the committee to brief us exactly what happened after our meeting. Did they manage to talk to Magistrate Zweli Banzi? Did they manage to locate him? What are his responses to those allegations that were leveled against him? Just to refresh our minds, the minister had recommended that the Magistrate Zweli Banzi be, I'm trying to use the right term here, be what? Be removed from office after having got information from the Magistrate Commission, and after having considered all the issues that were put before the minister. But as a committee, we felt maybe that would be harsh before we satisfy ourselves as to whether the reasons that were tabled then are enough for us to can support the minister in terms of saying this magistrate must be removed from office. If you agree with me, colleagues, let me allow Mr. Mayor to address the committee. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. You will note that on the 17th of June 2008, this committee deliberated on the removal from office from Mr. Zweli Banzi as a magistrate. Lengthy deliberations were held. The process followed by the commission was questionable, according to this committee. Mention was made that he has an alcohol problem. As a background information, just to reiterate that the Mr. Zweli Banzi has been found guilty of misconduct the last time in 2007. That was the third time. The commission is of the view that it was so serious that he should be removed from office. He pleaded guilty to the charges. And he was subsequently found guilty of misconduct on four counts. The matter was then postponed for the imposition of a sanction, and the presiding officer postponed the matter, on which date Mr. Silabanzi was not able to while he was absent. So they proceeded in his absence and imposed a sanction. He was informed of the imposition of the sanction and was requested by the commission to forward any representations not to remove him from office with the commission. The commission dealt with that and taking into account his previous convictions, the commission recommended to the commission and to parliament to have him removed from office. Now this committee considered the matter, and on the 18th of June, on your request, we wrote a letter to Mr. Silabanzi, which was signed by yourself. Maybe I can just read it to enlighten the members. It was a letter that the 18th of June, dear Mr. Silabanzi, proceeding in terms of section 13(4)(a) of the Magistrates Act 1993, the Minister for Justice and Constitutional Development has tabled a report in Parliament from which it appears that A. The Magistrates Commission on 22nd of November 2007 resolved to recommend to you that you be removed from office on the basis of misconduct in terms of section 13(4)(a)(1) of the Magistrates Act, and B. that you've been suspended from office with effect from 19 December 2007, pending consideration by Parliament of the recommendation for your removal from office. In terms of section 13(4)(c) of the Act, Parliament must, as soon as it is reasonably possible, pass a resolution as to whether or not your restoration to office should be recommended. Parliament is now poised to consider the passing of a resolution in accordance with the said provision. Having considered the representations in terms of Regulation 2620A of the Regulations for Judicial Officers in the Lower Court, 1994, submitted on your behalf by your attorney to the Magistrates Commission, Parliament noted that you were admitted to a rehabilitation center for alcohol dependency and that you were receiving treatment in this regard. To assist Parliament to consider the matter, you are invited to provide Parliament with further representations, which representation should inter alia cover the following areas. A. Whether you have been admitted to a rehabilitation center for alcohol dependency and, if so, to which institution or institutions you were admitted and over which periods. B. Whether you are still receiving treatment in this regard and, if so, provide Parliament with a report from the relevant practitioner. And C. The current status of your alcohol dependency problem. Kindly also provide Parliament with a copy of the social worker's report, which you intended to submit to the presiding officer at the misconduct inquiry. Your representation should be submitted to the Secretary to Parliament, Mr. Dingane, and kindly note that your response must reach Parliament by not later than Friday, the 4th of July, 2008. Should you have any inquiries in this regard, you may contact Mr. Nizulu in this regard. You are sincerely signed by yourself, Chair. As you are aware, we had difficulty in locating Mr. Silabanzi, so I phoned his wife, his estranged wife, and I made arrangements with her to serve this letter or to have this letter forwarded to him. He was at the time at home with his family, and she served this letter on him on the 7th of July 2008, upon which he apparently went to his attorney. And only now we have received a response to that, Mr. Chair. His response is dated the 5th of September 2008. I've only received a copy now. In the meanwhile, I've also briefed the Portfolio Committee on Justice in this matter, and they requested me to file a supplementary report for them to consider. And part of that report would be, they request the Commission to report on the following matters. Whether Mr. Silabanzi has been admitted to a rehabilitation center, the current status of his alcohol dependency problem, and whether the Select Committee on Security and Constitutional Affairs has considered the matter, and if so, what its recommendations were. When Mr. Silabanzi was found guilty by a court of law for drunken driving in 1997 and subsequently charged with misconduct, whether the Magistrates Commission investigated or looked into the possibility of Mr. Silabanzi abusing alcohol, whether at the previous hearings of misconduct against Mr. Silabanzi anything was mentioned in his defense about alcohol dependency. Now, I drafted this report I submitted it to the portfolio committee somewhere in July this year, and I made some copies available if it might be of use to this committee to come to a final conclusion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Major. Yeah, colleagues, there we are. There we are. In the responses that was sent to us, dated the 5th of September, yeah, our members, are you in position of this Konike from the Rubans? Now, maybe let me just open the floor for us to comment about this matter. What are we saying, colleagues? Those are the facts before us. Honorable Mzizi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my understanding, where actually my dilemma is that the magistrate was also offered an opportunity to respond on these allegations. However, I learned that they could not reach him, and they could only reach him by his estranged wife. It would appear that he has not actually given himself a chance to defend himself. And if he's not able to defend himself, what is the reason behind this? If he does not want to probably appear before the commission and present this matter, or before the select committee, then what else is left? One is guided by the letter from Dr. Schaefer, which indicated that he once actually admitted to St. Mark's Clinics from 26th of the 6th month to 2007. Now, this matter, it becomes very serious if a person has been admitted for the dependency staff, and in that high position where a person is expected to probably to deliver a verdict. To me, alone with that, having failed to also to avail himself, I see no reason further than that the man should actually be removed, because he's given an opportunity to put everything aside. He has not done so, and there must be a good reason behind this. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nyanda.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to second. I remember when we first started dealing with this issue of Zimbabwe, we even asked the department to write a letter and go and send it to his house. Unfortunately, there was no body, and we asked the whereabouts of which they did. The last thing we heard that because money was also deposited in his account, the money was withdrawn. But not knowing where is his whereabouts. Chairperson, I don't think Zwelibanzi, as a magistrate, failing to come to the the department and put his story, that he was sick, he was in a rehabilitation, whatever, himself decided to stay away in all this department where they called him to come and defend himself, but he failed dismally. I don't think we can keep such a magistrate, Chairperson, until up to his wife give all the evidence I see in here. He's irresponsible. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Nyanda. Honorable Leru.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, now it's obvious to me that this man is not fit and proper to be in such a very important position, and I agree that he should be removed as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Honorable Leru, Honorable Dr. Van Heerden.
Chairperson, I've got nothing to add except that to endorse what my colleague, Mr. Leru, has said here, going through this documentation, going back to 1998, I am amazed that he even stayed on the bench for such a long time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntuli.
No, my hand was not up, Chair, but because we have I just wanted to check. I remember that we said his salary must be stopped. I wanted to check whether that was done or.
Thank you very much. Any other comment? Honorable Mkoy.
Mr. Chairman, I would like the members here to bear with me with the direction of the argument that I would like to put before this on the side of the victim. I would like to call him a victim because the main thing here is liquor, alcohol. And when you look at this guy who has been able to be a BUR, CHEP, and also an LLB, it means he has been a person of salt, a person of fiber, but now he's being destroyed by alcohol. Yes, he needs to be removed from his duties, but where to? Not to be thrown to the pit. There is still a chance of him being taken to be rehabilitated. I say this still remains the responsibility of the government to see what happens to this person, because as I said, I want to make an argument in a different way. For instance, we have got the wineries or the wine farms where the government gets the taxes. We have got the wineries where the government is there to get taxes. We have got the distributors where the government is there to get taxes. We have the bottle stores and the shippings, or even the taverns, where the government takes the taxes. But once the person is drunk, he is no longer, the government is there to catch him, whether he's driving or he's working as an irresponsible somebody. And the government is no longer standing next to this person because there is no, I would say, because there's no tax to collect now. And I say, I can't really, with clear conscience, hammer a very hard knock on him, because I know that all the time our product is responsible for this, and we really gain a lot out of this product. We can't behave in South Africa as if we are a Muslim country where there is no liquor. And where does he get liquor to get drunk and be irresponsible? And as such, I would say, if yes, he must be removed, not to be destroyed. He's having some children, I've been reading, he's having some children to look after. He is having a problem. And the problem is, doesn't come from certain the parlor, but it comes from our own government, because we have wineries, we have got distributions, we have got liquors all over. Thank you. I plead on his behalf.
Well tried, Mkoy. Well tried. No, members are saying one of them must respond to what you are saying. I wonder if Mzizi will say that.
Chairperson, my colleague from my own party He knows Zulu very well. Lapha manje ke makhona pindeme. We cannot avoid it. It means that if there's a leakage and that's where water is actually always being captured, when it rains, the water is going to stop again there.
Yeah, colleague, Mamco want to come back again.
I don't intend making an argument. The phrase that my colleague has made, it's in all good intentions that when a girlfriend has been in love with me, will still be my girlfriend even at another time. It is also in a good way. It's not about a person being affected by liquor. And this one is a sick person. We need to help him. We have got methods of helping him. We need to help him, not to destroy him. Thank you.
Okay. On that girlfriend note, I want us to move forward. Can we move? Here's the issue before us, Honorable Museki. Let's leave the girlfriend story aside and just concentrate on what are we saying as a committee now. But thank you, Mtoi, for pleading for mitigation, you know. I wish you can hear that. I want us not to respond to what Mkoyo was saying, but let's concentrate on the issue before us. Honorable Musa, your hand was up. Honorable Dr. Fanyaten, your hand was up as well.
Okay, I just wanted to say that, you know, what we are doing is we are helping all the bands here. It's been a very serious problem. And if we keep him in the system, what is going to happen is that he's going to have more problems, and those problems will not just about liquor, will be about disciplinary proceedings and all those things. That will add to all problems that he's already having. I think the best way is to give him a chance to get out of some of the problems that he might invite. Thank you very much.
Doc?
Chairperson, you know, this person, unfortunately, I see that he was on 4 February 1998. It's 10 years already, more than 10 years. Chairperson, he's contaminating the respect that one should have for the legal profession. I mean, everybody who appears before a presiding officer, it doesn't matter gender is not an issue, race is not an issue. Chairperson, you should have respect if you appear before a person. And with great respect, this person is contaminating the high regard that we should have and do have for presiding officers. I will definitely support that we remove this person. Thank you.
Before I allow Mr. Mayor to comment on what was said by him, even though I don't think it's necessary, but I want to hear his voice. Colleagues, allow me to read one paragraph in his letter, in his response. On one paragraph, I won't read the whole, but in part. On the second page of his letter, paragraph number 4. On this letter from handwritten up there, attention, Mr. Z. Dingan. Anyway, let me read. I quote paragraph 4. I was in a better shape of health after release from clinic. My state of health is presently not up to scratch. I did not go to any other clinic after the St. Mark's clinic. I do believe that the suspension also is a contributory factor to the temptation of alcohol intake, I repeat. We are talking of a provincial somebody who is telling parliament that his suspension is a contributory to the temptation of alcohol intake. I can't expect this coming from a magistrate, you know. In other words, to justify that he's drinking, I mean, come on. For heaven's sake, my man. Let me not read further. I think, Mr. Mayor, is there any comments from you and your colleague there?
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the question whether he's still being paid, the Commission did consider to withhold his remuneration. It was decided to write him a letter and to request him to show cause why his remuneration should not be withheld. And the Commission then, after having responded, decided not to withhold his remuneration pending Parliament's resolution to remove him from office. So he's still getting paid. With regard to the other comments, Chair, this is the third time he's been convicted of found guilty of misconduct. The previous times, if I can just read what he stated in mitigation in 1998, you will recall that he was found guilty of inter alia drunken driving, absenteeism from office. I mean, he doesn't come to the office. So there's a court trial waiting. There are witnesses, there are attorneys, there are accused who need to be dealt with. But in conclusion, on the 2nd of March 1998, his attorney in mitigation put the following on record. The respondent is a married man of 40 years of age with 5 children. The eldest of those children was born in 1987, and the youngest having been born in 1995. All the children are still young, schooling, and in need of care. The wife of the respondent is a teacher. With regard to charge 4, he has pleaded guilty thereto. He had initially not intended to drive drunk, but was forced by circumstances beyond both his power of reasoning and control to assist his brother to take his sick child to hospital. At that stage, his faculties were already impaired by liquor. The following day was to be a public holiday, and he was just enjoying himself relaxing at home. This is common to almost every man of his age and older. Had he been aware that he would be required to drive a vehicle, he wouldn't have taken liquor at all. So are his instructions. The respondent does not appear to be by nature an irresponsible person. There is no doubt that he has had some problems which have resulted in him having to contravene the regulations. He now realizes that his conduct, if it recurs, may cost his job and promises to correct and mend his ways. Discharge from duty must be left for thieves, falsers, and second offenders. Then the minister suspended him from office for a period of 6 months without remuneration, and he was severely reprimanded on the other counts. Then in 2003, on the 2nd of December, he was again convicted on 4 charges of misconduct. None of them are ever related to allegations of alcohol abuse or being intoxicated whilst on duty. At the misconduct hearing, he, through his attorney, submitted a written statement in which he admitted to be guilty of the charges which were preferred against him. He was found guilty as charged, like I said, and in mitigation of sentence, he put the following on record. At this point in time, I would like to put some personal facts pertaining to my client. He is a magistrate at Nkomakwe, 47 years of age. He's married to a lady teacher, 5 children, the eldest being born 15 years ago, and the youngest child is 8 years old now. They are all of school-going age. He's presently not living with his wife. There are difficulties in the marriage, and at the time of these charges, I would like to put it on record that this was at the climax of the difficulties. I ask the court to accept that he's contrite, hence the plea. Mr. Zulabanzi would like it to be placed on record at this stage that his lack of discipline was brought about by heightened tension between himself and his estranged wife, and he was negligent in not taking other steps to see that his work is not in fact giving priority, and that life for him at that time was quite unbearable. I would also like at this stage to indicate to the hearing here that he is in no way rejecting any responsibility on this part. His plea is completely one of guilty. And then imposition of the sanction, he said, it is admitted that the charges are very serious, more so against the backdrop of the fact that Mr. Zulabanzi is not a first offender in that sense. He had been before a hearing in the past. But I would ask this Honourable Presiding Officer to distinguish the situation from that time to the present in that for one, it is no question of him having been charged of drunkenness, for another, the punishment while it was imposed in the past was quite severe. He was then severely reprimanded and cautioned by the Presiding Officer. That's the second misconduct inquiry, that if there were to be any future convictions of misconduct, that he would stand a good chance of a recommendation being made that he will be released from office. And now in 2007, he was again convicted of misconduct. Mr. Chair, the Commissioner is of the view that he's not a fit and proper person to sit on the bench anymore.
I'm looking at my legal advisor, over another. He's sitting quietly over there, and I know if there was something that is might be out of line, he would have immediately indicated. So when you see Vanara being quiet, I'm gonna say we are on course. Vanara, do you want to comment?
Sir, I don't think I have much to comment on. I mean, I'm not a decision maker, yeah? And I think there seem to be enough ground for the committee to pursue a decision that seems likely to be taken. However, I would like the committee to take note that there was a procedural defect in the proceedings that preceded the recommendation for the removal of the gentleman from office. However, that defect, if the magistrate wants to pursue that particular issue, he stands free to approach the court to basically have that particular decision reviewed. And I don't think it's going to prevent the committee from making a particular decision either way. So I don't think necessarily there's anything wrong with the committee taking a decision. Really the committee has got a very limited role to play in this matter. So I think a decision needs to be taken. It can be taken. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Varna. That's our parliamentary legal advisor. From the Office of the State Law Advisor, can I check? Pumele, any comments?
Thank you, Chair. We will have no input into this matter, but I also do not see any problems arising. The committee will make decisions.
Thanks very much, Pumele. Mr. Malus.
I share her view, Nadi.
Yeah. Colleagues and members, I know there's a proposal that was seconded. As a committee, we are saying, based on the recommendation from the Magistrate Commission, based on all the findings by the Commission, and based on what the minister requested Parliament to do, based on my own insistence that I think I need to hear Mr. Zwelivanzi making a presentation to this committee, to Parliament. And having looked at his responses, I'm not convinced that this Parliament or this committee can come to any other conclusion other than to agree with the recommendation by the minister that Mr. Zwelivanzi, unfortunately, is not a fit and proper person to can be on the bench as a magistrate. We therefore support the recommendation from the Magistrate Commission, from the minister. And as this committee, we also support that because of all the charges that were against him and being found guilty on many occasions, we therefore agree that he be removed from office. That is the decision of the committee. Thanks very much. The matter is closed. Thanks very much. We are now going to, Mr. Mayor, thanks for coming to us and your colleague. I didn't get the name of your colleague, unfortunately. I'm sorry. Madam, can I?
Okay, then. evening. Boitumelo, Marusha.
Yeah, it could. Thanks very much. If you want to sit here, enjoy our meetings, by all means, sit and the mayor and Etude. But if you want to excuse yourself, you know, by all, you are free to can leave anytime. But thanks very much, Fred. The necessary report will be prepared. You assist my office so that the report of this committee conveyed exactly what transpired here. I feel bad because I tried my best to save this man, but then I couldn't. Yeah. Thanks very much. We're now going to the second item. We're going to now look at the second-hand goods bill. In our last meeting, you'll remember that we agreed with some recommendations from provinces. Provinces lobbied each other, and I suspect there were further engagement, that is it. There were further engagement to see if we can persuade each other to agree on one or the other positions. Like my province, the peaceful province of Limpopo, is bringing some other amendments again. So you'll be happy to see that I have lobbied many provinces. You'll be shocked at the support I'm going to get. Mr. Van der Waal, you'll be surprised what I'm going to do today. We're bringing major, major, major changes to this bill. Can you check with my secretariat as to whether all final mandates have been received by their office before we can proceed? The answer is yes. Now I've got what I'm going to do now is to check with members, not provinces now, members, if they want to make some statements before we formally go to provinces to address me or address the committee about their engagement with the province. Our province is agreeing to what we agreed upon in our last meeting. Are there fresh proposals that they are bringing forward? If they are, so that we can hear and try to entertain them. Are there general comments, colleagues? 3, 2, 1, no. What was
this? Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, though, when I look at the bid itself, I think there were some proposals that clothing and books should be removed, but I can see them reflecting. I don't know whether probably it's by omission or an oversight, so that we could know that as we move forward, those were indeed removed. If there's any other proposal, probably we can consider. Thank you, Chair.
Now, are you not having the old bill? I think there's a new document that outlines all the amendments. It was tabled before the committee. Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you, Chair. KwaZulu Natal is saying that they did not receive the new amended bill version. You remember that we were here and we said there were some areas to be corrected and to form a new bill. KwaZulu-Natal, they went to the meeting without that those corrections. So they said they can't do a thing because they have not seen the amended bill with effected changes which we raised in this house. Thanks, Chair.
Surprisingly, we sent this document In fact, I wanted to make sure, even when we were at Pretoria last week visiting the Scorpions and that, I spoke to the chairperson of the committee, Babu Ustev, because he wanted to check as to whether the minutes, even that contains all the proposals. I said, yes, they were sent to your office. And indeed they were sent, because even now, in my position, I've got even the text that we approved when we were here. You remember that the minutes reflected exactly what appears in the text that we had in our last meeting. That was given to us by Director van der Waals, with all our amendments. That's what was sent to the province, the draft minutes, with those amendments. But I don't know, because from here to KZN, it's quite a distance. Something might have happened in between. And I don't want to say no, they didn't receive it. They received it. Because if they said that, I don't have any reason not to doubt that what they're saying is true. But just to correct this, and because my colleague, since you are here, and there's a big delegation from KwaZulu-Natal, that makes me happy, so that they see that everything was done openly. But I'll request that if there's extra copies, let them be given to members so that they see exactly. Because what was proposed by KwaZulu-Natal was even received, was even accepted here by all provinces. And even in my minutes, the minutes here, they reflect exactly what was proposed by KZN, and even the committee said yes to all of those proposals. But those that were similar with other provinces, that were covered by other clauses, it was agreed that there was no need to amend them because they are covered in other clauses. So I think we'll speak the same language very soon, but I want to insist to plead that the copies be made available to our colleagues, special and permanent delegates from KwaZulu-Natal, so that they see this thing. And I feel bad that they did not get them. But I even spoke to Tembi personally, so that this thing is done accordingly. I don't know what happened. Honorable Ntuli.
Yeah, thanks, special person. I do second what you are saying, but I'll request an advice. What can I do to check what happened? Because if they say they did not receive, we say we sent, then what? Don't we have a way of checking what happened, or who did not pass it over to somebody? Because that will help us to know. Because we are having this problem where whenever we send some messages, particularly to the MECs, they always say, no, they have not received that, and we don't know. Now I'm asking if there are any mechanism of tracing where it disappeared. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I'll allow my office to address us as to exactly what happened. Because after I spoke to the chairperson, and lucky enough, I was with my secretary when we were visiting the DSO offices in Pretoria. And she even called to verify that she had sent this thing. But I think I agree with you, we had to verify exactly what transpired. Because it's really unethical, you know. It's really unprofessional that the province won't receive these mandates. I don't know what happened. Maybe the Constitution House as well must really come on board on this one, tell us exactly what happened. Because as you can see from the mandate of KZN, they're saying no, they can't support this bill until unless they receive the formal version with all the proposals. So, I would love all provinces to support this bill. If they reject the bill, they must reject the bill because of reasons, or because they don't agree with some of the content or the proposed clauses in the bill. Not because of procedural issues. I mean, that's really not on. this must be rectified really, because we don't want to blame KwaZulu-Natal because of the mistakes of officials or people who are supposed to do this. Grace, can you address us what happened to me?
Thanks, Chair. I have emailed all the provinces the minutes with a copy of the I can't remember the date, but I've emailed them before they convened their meetings. After we had the meeting, I emailed this copy with the minutes to Reggie's house.
Yeah, can I now hear our colleagues, special delegates? Because I don't understand what transpired. Because it's true, the chairperson of the committee phoned me to say, hey, we're sitting here and I don't have those those amended versions. My suspicion is exactly what Honorable Nduli is saying. Someone forgot to open their email address. Because this is a serious bill that we've been dealing with. There is no way in which our office cannot send this. Because all provinces receive this. And I don't know what can we do, man, because we need KwaZulu-Natal's vote on this one. After they've contributed so much to this bill. You know, this bill is so rich now because of the contributions from KwaZulu-Natal, from Eastern Cape and Gauteng in particular. Their proposals really took us someone. But it will be a sad day when passing in today, we don't have a voice from KwaZulu-Natal. Honorable Slabe?
No, Chair, I think you can relax. Look, we had hearings on this bill, and we think it is a very good piece of legislation, and we also think it is long overdue. If you just think on one example, the billions that Telkom lose over periods just in copper cables, and these unscrupulous scrap dealers that buys it, and the people won't steal the cable if they haven't got a market to sell it. So we support this. If you are prepared to accept your word, if you say to me that our amendments are taken up in the bill. Because I see here there are two items on Schedule 4, the issue of clothing and books, I think it was also mentioned by you there. I haven't had time to check whether it's omitted or not.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. So I was just told that is taken out. So, and the others, if you say it's taken up, then we support it. No problem.
Maybe what? Bamko, is your hand up? Okay.
Mr. Chairman. On seeing that all the provinces have reacted and they received this, and we, only KwaZulu, has this complaint, I have a feeling that we know in KwaZulu we have got something which is not done in many provinces. We have a lot of activity outside the parliament because we are taking parliament to the people. And then now I think when these things come to our legislature, there's nobody. And the blame might be that side. This is what just I surmise, you know, because everybody is all out and out, imbizo and this and this and that, and the ministers are not there, and this is very possible that this must have been sent there, and it was not received accordingly. And I don't think any of the other provinces are that active outside the parliament as we do. Thank you.
You know, you spoiled that last comment. That's why you spoiled it. That's all that you said. You know, you said a nice thing, but the last comment.
Mr. K, I would like to request the delegation from KwaZulu-Natal to support this bill, because we know the exactly the intention of this bill. Thank you.
I've checked with Uphumelele Malusi to advise me on something based on exactly what Nabita is saying. Maybe let me check with Tarefan about are the issues that you want to address us on, or are there new issues that as a department you feel you need to talk to us about. If not, just say nay, so that we go the formal part where we request provinces to address us. Is there anything from you?
Jose, no, nothing from us, except to say that I prepared a document for for members, I think, that has been distributed, to see exactly which comments fit in where with the bill, so that it's a bit easier to read. But the recommendations by KwaZulu-Natal was all taken up in the amendments.
Thank you very much. Mr. Van der Waals is referring to this document titled Summary of Comments on entitled whatever it is. There's a quick response to say it's not reader friendly. Some of us are aging now, you know. Yeah, just let us, I'm telling you. I don't think even the intention was to hijack. I don't think even Wisa will be able to read this. I don't think Wisa will be able to read here. You know, if I can't read, then Wisa can read. Right. Pumela and Malus advised me, and because special delegates and permanent delegates are aware of some of this. What might have happened in between? Can we, as a committee, accept the yes vote from KwaZulu-Natal without their formal mandate? Because that's the one of the requirements, unfortunately. Can you advise us, please, the Office of the State Law Advisor?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the issue that has been raised, whether the KwaZulu-Natal province managed to make their final mandate, I think coming out of the discussion that the department has responded to say that on the initial mandates, the negotiating mandates that were given and the inputs that came through from KwaZulu-Natal have been taken on board and considered on the amendments. And also on the discussion that has come up to say that there's no serious objection as to the adoption or going forward with the bill that is coming from KwaZulu-Natal. So I believe on those grounds, the committee can go ahead with the task that was set for today's meeting. And also, if there were serious concerns, maybe KwaZulu-Natal would just be given some time to go through the amendments and see whether what they have suggested has actually been taken on board or not, and then we take it from there. Thank you, Chair.
In addition, Chair, by the look of things, KwaZulu-Natal is not objecting to the bill. I'm of the opinion that the committee can proceed, because although they have raised an issue that they didn't receive the, but some of their recommendations were taken on board.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I've seen you, Honorable Leroux. Let me hear Honorable Ntuli first.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Although I'm speaking after the legal gurus, I don't think it is correct. I think what we can do is to continue accepting what was demanded from KwaZulu-Natal, but we may add to say, let me consult with them so that they can send us another mandate, which will be correct. Not to say they gave us this mandate and we decide here to oppose the mandate. What we can do is to continue as is, and I must consult the province to send us another mandate. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Leroux?
Chairperson, I agree fully with my colleague. We'll set the wrong precedent if we do it the other way around. Province must give the mandate, as far as I'm concerned. We can't get a special delegate to come give a mandate here. If we start doing this, then we're changing the whole system. So I really think the legal people must think again.
Thank you. Dr. Van Heerden and then Honorable Manuels.
Chairperson, you know, we are deliberating on this thing for how long? And I quickly went through the... it's only KZN who has reservations. And I really, Chairperson, how long are we still going to postpone of taking a final decision? I don't want to offend KZN in any way whatsoever. And they were here when we discussed and when we came with the necessary proposal and when we amended it, Chairperson. And I really think that we are just postponing the thing again and again. You know, Chairperson, there are about only 6 days left for Parliament this year. And if we now give another time and another opportunity for them to come with another mandate, when will we then be in a position to dispose of this thing? It's only one of the 9 provinces that so far hasn't come with a final mandate situation.
Raul Manuel, sir.
Sorry. I tend to agree with both the Honorable Ntuli and Mr. Leroux next to me that this is not a question of life and death. And the 6 days that Dr. Van Heerden is referring to has been determined, perhaps, by members of Parliament. It has not been determined by God. Now, we should not change the procedure at the drop of a hat. And I think we should grant them an extension so that they do the right thing, we do the right thing as well. And therefore, this matter can be postponed. The decision on this matter can be postponed so that we do the right thing. We don't do a defective thing. We should avoid defects. And also one thing now, the last thing that we are not addressing is how should we make sure that each province gets the documents that are required to be received by them. What is it that we are saying? This is the record of what we did in order to ensure that this document reaches KwaZulu-Natal. We are not saying anything about it. Constitution House is not saying it received anything, which is Elias in office. We have not addressed that area. Thank you.
Yeah, I can see a photo of hands. Oh. Oh. Colleagues. Okay, no, let me come in here. We've got two options. Option one is for us to finalize and continue and vote. It's normal for a province to say we don't vote. We're not obliged to can wait there, unless if really it's something of that propose a major change, because they're not opposing the bill. It's just the procedure that was done. That's what they're challenging. To say they were not properly informed. But in terms of the content of the bill, they agree fully with all provinces of these about these amendments. That's the option that we can take. Option two is for us to say, okay, KZN, can we give you some time to check with your province whether they can send us a final mandate? And that's the two options we can take today. Because today we have to finalize this bill, unfortunately. We have to. I mean, as you can remember, tomorrow starting with the defense bill, that will take us whatever. Immediately after the defense bill next week, we are starting with the DSO bills. That will take us, we'll be meeting from next, let me say from the 16th until the 23rd of November. This committee will be meeting every day except the constituency days. But the chief whip yesterday said, the acting chief whip yesterday said, there might be a likelihood that many of us will be requested, our provinces will be told, that we'll be here from Monday to Friday to deal with the DSO bills. So I don't want us, as was said by one of our colleagues here, I don't want to delay this bill unnecessarily. But the matter is still open for debate. I suppressed Honorable Ntuli, Honorable Slabet, Honorable Mzizi, Honorable Mtoi, in that order. Venom, was your hand up? Okay, you'll be coming as well, Venom. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chaperson. I don't think, Chair, I was not saying let's not continue with the bill. I was saying let's continue passing the bill, but let's remain with KwaZulu-Natal mandate. I was saying in the process, I'll be contacting KwaZulu-Natal so that they can send us another mandate, so that when we go to the House, then I'll be coming with the correct thing. But I was not saying let's defer this meeting because KwaZulu-Natal mandate. No. I was saying let's continue, but in the meantime, I'll be contacting the province to get the proper thing and explaining what happened. Even if KwaZulu-Natal is not agreeing, it's not going to fail the bill. It is going to continue. But I just wanted to have a smooth way of going through. Thanks, Chair.
In that order?
Chairperson, it's really now taking, you know, a cup of water into the sea. You have set a mouthful. Mr. Ntuli, a permanent delegate, has set a mouthful. What are we trying to achieve by addressing on this issue? We continue, as usual. They will seek a mandate for the voting in the House. But the bill, we can continue today. And I stand by what you have proposed and what the permanent delegate from KZN has proposed.
Thank you very much. In that order, Honorable Slabet.
Chair, I'm very pleased to hear that KZN is so important to cause such a long debate about KZN. About the mandate, I heard what the legal people said and what my colleague, whoever said, but I'm asking myself the question, if we are not here to come and give you the mandate, what am I doing here? So it applies to all of us. And if it needs to have a written document to give you the final mandate, all we could do is go out, make a phone call, and they could fax you the mandate, and the issue is resolved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Slavitt. Honorable Mkoy?
Honorable Chairperson, common sense tells me that I should be saying the whole thing is okay, we give the mandate. But the system doesn't allow me. I'm having a paper here from KwaZulu-Natal which says no mandate because of 1, 2, 3. And I know as we are here, we are not the full committee. We can't change anything. So I want it to be on record that I, as Wiseman Mkoy, am not of the opinion that this could be changed here. But all the same, I am of the feeling that one province out of all the provinces can't hold the whole thing back. And as such, if at all KwaZulu-Natal happens to be grippy in its way of treating things, we need to be pointed out as being grippy on that and not just to be brushed and brushed as if nothing has happened. Because I think I know where the problem is. The whole thing is there, but doesn't find anybody because we're all out taking the government to the people and leaving the government alone. Thank you.
So, Ramusek, it's nice to learn that when they go to meet the public, there's nobody in the offices. That's something very, very new, you know. I'm happy to hear that, Honorable Ntuli. That was on the lighter note then. Honorable Elero?
Chairperson, I propose that we finalize the matter immediately.
The procedure is this, colleagues. Is that Honorable Slabbert? That's why if the legislation is a section, if it's a section 74, that amends the constitution. Section 76, that is provincial input. We don't have a choice but to concentrate on the written mandate from that promise. You cannot divert and do any other thing other than just say, even if you want to. I remember when we were dealing with the closed boundary municipality legislation. I remember Honorable Mzizi, Honorable Shikrega, now Honorable Minister of Local Government. They were so opposed to this thing of saying Kutong must be in Northwest. As a, you know, from the first debate until the province sent them a money to say go and vote that Kutong must be in Northwest, and they had to read that money to say we are supporting that. They didn't have a choice. That's a requirement that. That's unfortunately, unless if the rules are changed, Honorable Ntuli is right. You know, I think the comments from the Office of the State Law Advisor, they were not saying we should divert from the rules. They were just saying, because we don't have support, but just that some necessary procedures were not followed properly. Can I now, we are now going formal, colleagues. We have received mandates from the nine provinces. Can I now request the Eastern Cape to address us? Eastern Cape?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As Eastern Cape, we are happy to come here and address the committee and also resolve that we should, you know, support the bill. And we are further saying that so long the bill would not be actually you know altering with the principle of what the bill is saying, we are also of this view, Chair, that whilst we are supporting the bill with all its contents and we are happy with the fact that some of our work that we have done through the public hearing has been captured fully in the contents of the bill. The fact that some of the things you are saying they must be moved out of those bills, they are for the Eastern Cape. But we also felt we need to, you know, to correct the administrative situation, which is also, you know, affecting our province when we are to do this, you know, this particular work. We were like more or less, you know, disappointed in the last negotiating mandate that we sent a delegate here and we were told in the 11th hour that the meeting had been changed to Bloemfontein, and when we in Bloemfontein we realized that there was another meeting, you know, which was addressing some other aspect of the local government and the bill was to be, you know, debated later on. As a result, we were unable to be there, you know, unless we, at the end, we had to give our mandate to our permanent delegate. It's a matter that I think what is coming out now from KwaZulu-Natal in terms of administration is a matter that must be corrected, because it actually handicapped provinces in deliberating on these matters in time and knowing very well which dates are we to come for the negotiating a mandate. That's all, Honorable Chair, that we we are for raising. We are of the view that the bill will address all the problems that were there, and it will also assist government in keeping out the crime that is coming out of these second-hand goods shop. When we were addressing our mandate, agreeing with the contents of the bill, we were saying, Chair, that might not change now. The matter of the special unit, which Director Van der Walt, mentioned in the first negotiating mandate, that it, although we are supporting the bill, as I'm saying, but it is not clear on the bill, in terms of the... Because in the first meeting, we said the capacity of SEPs, you need to actually assist us in keeping these areas of crime. And we thought the special unit would assist us more in addressing such crime. But all those are comments. We actually support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nyosile. Honorable Lero?
No, I have no further comment.
Thank you very much to Ethan Cape. Can we listen to Free State, Doc?
Yeah, Chairperson, I was not part of the briefing in the Free State. I can just refer you to the document before the committee, namely that the committee considered the bill, second-hand goods bill, and the resolution was taken. The committee supports the bill as amended by the NCOB. I was last week in the Free State, and I was not informed by them what to do, but this thing I noticed was faxed this morning on the 7th, apparently. In the early hours of the morning, 0047. So someone was working very late, Chairperson, and according to this one, at least, yes, they approve of the bill. Thank you.
As for this thing, Doc. Right. Thank you very much, Free State. Colleagues, I deliberately didn't want to engage Ethan Cape if you want to raise anything, because they raised one or two issues. If you want to engage them, we'll come late. But I must recommend Ethan Cape, Honorable Nyusile, and Dr. Van Heerden, Free State, that your mandate has been signed by the Speaker. That's nice. That's good. Wonderful. Can we now listen to Gauteng? Honorable Mzizi?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, may probably highlight one thing, which probably does not actually require this committee. I have spoken this to the committees, that the mandate must be a simple, straightforward. Because here, on item 4, recommendations by the committee, it says that the Portfolio Committee on Community Safety and Economic Affairs support the second-hand goods bill, blah, blah, with the view that the financial implications for the province is taken into account. Now, we did actually speak on this, that the bill itself, it cannot be cast on stone. Some of the things will contain in the regulations. But however, the mandate I've got, sir, is that in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution, Portfolio Committees on Community Safety and Economic Affairs recommends that the House confer the authority on the Gauteng Provincial Delegates to the NCOP to vote in favor of the Second-Hand Goods Bill, B2B, 2008, and I think it will be a D version at that time when we vote. But it is signed by the Deputy Speaker, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anol Mzizi. On that financial implication note, thanks for supporting the bill. Can I now go to KwaZulu Natal? Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you, Chairperson. KwaZulu-Natal has agreed not to confer its final voting mandate until the amended bill is presented to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
KwaZulu-Natal unfortunately cannot confer the permanent and special delegates to vote based on the reasons as stated. We've discussed this at length. I wonder if special delegates want to enter the fray. You can if you want to, colleagues from KZN.
Yeah, I would propose that we all keep quiet because we are now stripped of the little bit of power as a delegate we have.
No, you still got the power, Honorable Slavis. For us to be that number in the NCOP, you need the 6 permanent and the 4 special. So as you are, you got the powers in the house. No? You're not stripped of any power. Yeah. I think we have engaged the KwaZulu-Natal issue. We can pass now and go to the province of peace, the peaceful province of Limpopo. The Doc, on which side are you now, Doc? I thought we were on the same side. No. My province, supposed to be, as you can see from the recommendations there, in fact, I persuaded them that they must support it even though they didn't get all what they wanted. But what we're going to do in the report of the committee, we might want to reflect other things that the department had to investigate and see if we can improve on the bill based on what provinces are saying. That's all the peaceful province is saying of Limpopo. We support the bill. As you can see, the recommendation there, especially the item 6 on page 3 of our bill. Unless it members want me to read the whole recommendations. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Can I call upon when the sun rises, Mpumalanga province, Honorable Nyanda?
Thank you, Chairperson. The Mpumalanga provincial legislature hereby confer the delegation representing province of Mpumalanga in National Council of Provinces with authority and mandate to vote in favor of the bill. Thank you. Speaker of the province.
Yeah, and Limpopo is where to sign by the speaker, the report, just that the chairperson was not here to sign the other thing, but the report was signed by the speaker. Thanks, Mpumalanga, for your support. Can I recognize Northern Cape? Where is Dirk, Willem? Where is Dirk?
Chairman, he is organizing the Northern Cape because we have full confidence of taking the province over the next election.
I think Mr. Museki must protest on this. You can't leave this. I think we all have the mandate from the Northern Cape, the final mandate. With your permission, colleagues, I will leave the other stuff and just go straight to the final voting mandate. In terms of Section 65 of the Constitution, the Petroleum Committee on Economic Affairs and Tourism recommends that the House confer authority on the head of its delegation to the NCOP to vote in support of the Secondhand Goods Bill debt with amendments. So Northern Cape also supports the bill. Can I now recognize the Northwest, Honorable Museki?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, the Northwest having followed all the procedures after the briefing. having followed all the procedures after the briefing, resolved to confer a mandate on its permanent delegate to vote in favor of the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Museki, and thanks for the support the bill. Can I now recognize the VESCAP Western Cape? Where is Comrade Novello? Yes, Honorable Ntuli?
I'm sorry, Chair. I was given the Novello phoned me. He is in hospital. He is very ill. So he phoned me this morning to say I must give an apology. That, but he said he has written, I mean, he asked his PA to forward the apology. But he followed with the phone to say I must apologize that he is in hospital.
Honorable Lero?
Chairperson, is it not right for us as a committee to perhaps send Mr. Mack something, good wishes or something to that effect?
That's a very good idea, Honorable Lero. I think there's no objection to that. I think if we can get a speedy recovery card, wishes, whatever you can call it. I think the secretary will handle that. Thank you very much, Honorable Lero. With your permission, colleagues, if you don't have any objection, can I formally read the mandate from the Western Cape, the final mandate, as signed by the Speaker, Mr. Benefield? The Western Cape Provincial Parliament, having considered the subject of the second-hand goods bill debt number, the NCOP, referred to the Provincial Parliament in terms of the rule of the NCOP, begs to report that it confers on the Western Cape delegation in the NCOP the authority to support the bill. So therefore, the Western Cape as well supports the bill. 8 out of 9 provinces supported the bill. I therefore want to say I'm happy to say we have got enough consensus for us to vote on the bill. Without wasting our time, colleagues, having received this mandate, I want to put the whole bill before us as amended. But if you have time, colleagues, I don't mind to take you through clause by clause, from clause 1, we said yes, 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 all of us, until we finish. But I think we have done that part. It's up to me now to say I'm putting the whole bill with all the proposed amendments from provinces before the committee, after having supported by 8 provinces. Who is a brave member who can move that they will accept this? Raul Musa.
Because I'm very brave, Chair. Thank you. No, Chair, I think you're right. You know, we have deliberated on this bill a lot. By now, we are all familiar with all the sections and everything that appears in the bill. Therefore, I think I would want to move that we accept the bill. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. Thanks, Ramosek. The motion of disability, we have done that long time ago. Now, yes, when we do the motion of disability, we've done that long time ago, Grace. Now, what do I want to do now after I'll get a second? Is for us to go through the report. That's what I want to do now.
That's the procedure then. I know my rules. Okay, the second, Salam Ziz.
I hereby second the speaker, the first speaker, that we accept the bill as put before us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'll at the same time thank Madam Ziz. I will now put the report of the committee. If you want to read the whole report, it's a 3-page report. If you want to go through it, I can do that. But the report will contain exactly what we discussed and what we agreed upon since we started deliberating. The report will reflect that the provinces raise other issues, and what we're going to do in the other report, we'll look at Director van der Waal to assist in my office. You know, there were issues that were raised by committees or by provinces. So the department must make a follow-up on those issues to see if they would meet some challenges and even if the bill is implementable. And we request that if there are things that the department will discover when they implement the bill, that are might of that might need our attention. Let them come back to us as Parliament, so that we look at that. Now I'm putting the report before the committee. Can I also request a mover? The report is tabled. Can I get a mover?
The Platinum Province, Northwest, moves that we adopt the
report. Honorable Moseki, on behalf of the Platinum Province, Northwest, they move that the committee accept their report. Any second?
Mpumalanga, second. The move of the report.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nyanda, on behalf of Mpumalanga, seconds that the report of the committee be accepted. I declare the bill passed by this committee with those amendments. Thank you very much, colleagues, for doing such a wonderful work. But before we call it a day, Dr. van der Waal, let me thank you for being such a loyal and good servant, for being so understanding. When given a task, you are able to carry it without question, without any hesitation. If we can have in this government many van der Waals like you, will go very far. Convey our sincere thanks to your colleagues and everybody who we are working with. That, as this committee, we are so proud that you are part of these deliberations when doing this bill. And well done. Can I have a parting shot from you?
No, Khoshi, I just want to thank the committee for strengthening the bill and making it much better than what it was when we brought it to Parliament. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, this bill will be debated in a week's time. As you are aware, next week we will be dealing with the interventions in the Atlanta local government. But if the, because they were still trying to get the person who will chair that committee, let's not go there because it's another terrain. But I can assure that very soon the powers that be will give us some mandate or task to nominate a person who will lead the other cluster. So let's be ready for next week, colleagues, so that we are also continue with our meetings. But we'll see. It either will be this cluster or local government. So let's just be ready. Let me thank our colleagues, our special delegates from KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, Honorable Slabel, Honorable Nusile, Honorable Babu Undavezita, and Honorable Mkoi. Thanks very much, colleagues, for participating and for taking the keen interest in the legislation that it's before the NCOP. What I notice, they are consistent. If provinces can copy from KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, I mean, all legislations here will be of in such a nature that it will be in the best interest of everybody.
want to encourage other provinces to do likewise. Because we learn a lot when we get our colleagues from provinces who are coming to empower and enrich our legislations here. And they are so consistent. In fact, if I were to be honest, they are number one in terms of attendance when dealing with Section 76 legislation. Thanks to you, Honorable Ntuli, I wish I can be like you, man. But we're beating us there all the time. You are all of being us, Chief. I must really give you credit. So, our colleagues, any parting shots from yourself, from our special delegates? Any parting shots to our special delegates? Anyway,
I was just saying, Ntuli, instead of supporting, he was a sellout today.
I must protect my weep, you know. Don't slap that. Thank you very much. I think we are done with this particular item. Thank you very much. All of you who are in this meeting, by all of you, I mean all of you, unless the people are rushing somewhere, you are invited to join the chairperson when we enjoy the juicy, delicious, and sumptuous lunch at the Old Assembly restaurant. You are invited. In our culture, when a traditional leader as Nkosi invites you, you can't say no, you know. It's an African and unethical, you know. You all have to go and enjoy that meal, yeah? Colleagues, what I've done, we're supposed to meet this afternoon, but Grace, you are disrupting my meeting. You are disrupting my meeting. And it's supposed to take minutes for that matter. I'm saying tomorrow this afternoon we're supposed to meet and deal with other issues, but because you've done so well in terms of the second hand goods deal and the relevance, I've removed those meetings. So this afternoon I'm giving you a chance to go to your offices. I know your offices, you have to do some cleanup in your tables. So the only meeting is tomorrow where it will be addressed by the brand new Minister of Certain Security in the very same committee room. So let's be here, colleagues, and listen to our minister. But before I adjourn the meeting, I see Dr. Fanyaten wants to address us.
Chairperson, yes, no. It's a matter of, I think, if just the committee can stay behind so that we can finalize our program. For you referred here briefly to 16 to 23 November. That's one thing. The other thing is whether we utilize our parliamentary travel facilities or whether this is a committee meeting. If you can just get clarity on that, Chairperson, I don't want to out up the other people. I don't think we will be that long, but I wait for your ruling in this regard, how you would like to deal with these two points. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I don't think we can really excuse people. They can, it's not a big issue. I checked with the powers that be. They said that because they were given a right to meet as a committee. They said it's a normal committee meeting. It's not a special arrangement. That's what I was told. But if the committee wants us to further investigate whether we can be compensated in terms of Parliament flying us in and out for these special meetings, we can investigate it. But from what I was told is that this is a normal committee meeting where we're just given a task not to be in our constituencies to continue meeting because of the heavy load we're having in this last in terms of bills. But as I'm saying, we can further investigate and report back tomorrow. I think give us a chance, myself and the secretary, so that they will report to you tomorrow. That's exactly what is the position. Because I don't want to fumble yet to give you what is not accurate. But thanks for raising it, Doc. You're not the only one. One of these raised it as well with me last week. Last week. So we'll respond. We'll respond there. Any other thing?
The date, Chairperson, can we then take it that the 16 to 23 November is definitely committee meetings? because we not
November or October. No,
November. I think you. I thought you said no. You referred to November this morning, 16 to 23 November.
No. In fact, sorry, Doc. I wanted to say October, because you know myself and herself from next week Monday will be busy appointing judges until Friday. So the JSC meeting is taking place, and the crucial meeting that they said no excuses, no. It's a 3-line whip in the JSC next week. Yeah, no excuses. Yeah, I think on that note, let me thank everybody in this meeting, even our visitors. Thank you very much. We enjoyed having you here. I wish you can attend our meetings every day, you know. That makes life nice for us. To the Office of the State Law Advisor, thank you very much. Let's go enjoy our lunch at the restaurant.